Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, George, I got a bone to pick with you. Well, not really. I just feel like, if I was your sibling, I have a bone. You said that you take your sister on tour with you. Yeah. However, your brother is a singer and songwriter as well. Why didn't you take him on tour with you?
I have done. Me and Ethan toured together. We did a...
Fine, you win. All
right. We did a European tour. It was amazing because you'd be backstage and it would be my brother, me and my sister. And, you know, Dad would come and join us for a few shows and you'd be like, "This, we're in Hamburg and we're all together and this is amazing." Like, it's just a very...
Oh, that's cool.
Insane.
Yeah, I love that.
When you did, you know, when you had Casio and that song and that was the one that kind of blew up, did you kind of expect that to happen when it did, or were you kind of like building up towards it? And when it suddenly, is it like a sort of viral hit? Suddenly the song goes and then it just goes and goes and goes and it kind of just shoots.
It definitely did. Like, that's really easy to answer in that I definitely didn't expect it to happen. And yeah. I don't think I don't mean this in a negative way, but I really felt as if I was killing time by pursuing music, in that at some point someone would tap me on the shoulder and be like, "All right, mate, you know,
come on, Ezra, let's get out of here."
And I feel as if I'm only just at a point now where, you know, when like you see artists, they're like, "I can't believe, you know, this is done." And it's like, well, you kind of knew because you know how big your audience is now. And, you know, does that make sense? It's faux sincerity of like, "Oh my God." It's like there's a...
"I can't believe I won Album of the Year." Wow.
To an extent, not that you become expectant of it, but there was, sure, I think for a really long period, 3 or 4 years, I was doe-eyed, just like, "I can't believe this." Whereas it's now I'm like more on the side of, well, this is what my time now looks like. You know, this is what I do day to day for now.
And do you think, because this is always the big question about everyone, right? I feel like the sort of entertainment industry is the only industry like in the world that if you were like a dentist, for example, and you got to a certain age or something happened, no one would say to a dentist, you know what, it's probably time to hang up your shoes now. That does, for some reason, in the entertainment industry, it doesn't matter if like you're an actor or a comedian or whatever, there comes a point where they kind of go like, "I'm a little bit too old to be doing this stuff." Do you know what I mean?
Apart from Bob Dylan.
And the Stones, man. But my question is probably, this is your love. Do you think you'll be doing this for the rest of your life?
I think so, but I think it will probably look more like me in a lounge of mine with an acoustic guitar singing to me. I will always be singing, whether it's in front of X amount of people or not, I don't know. I don't think that it's... If ever I was in a position where I was having a family, I don't think I'd want to be off on tour all the time. I think it's quite a selfish existence. And I think whilst you're young enough to live that selfish existence, it's all right. But I definitely wouldn't put it first over other people's time. I don't know, man. I don't like.
Yeah, that's a big question to ask. Yeah. It was a dumb question. I didn't even want to ask
it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, what is your 5-year plan, Ezra? Yeah, tell me what your 5-year plan is. You know what I mean, though? It's one of those things you said about touring, I always think must be like people, you know, glorify this whole existence of touring and oh my god, and it would be super fun, but as you said before, god, it just must be so draining at times, the fact that you have to go from this place to this place, you're doing radio shows every single day, gigging. I mean, it's
but
intense.
I think it is intense, and I think that this is my thing. I assume that a lot of people see, say, me walk on stage and they assume that I've had my feet up all day and I'm just like waking up to do the show. And I fucking like that they think that. Like, it's like the showbiz mystique. I want them to think
it's an illusion. It's
just, yeah. And I think that's what, like, when we're kids and we're like working out what music we like and everything, you don't want to think about how it's all made. You just want to see them walk on stage and go, fuck, there they are. And I think that, you know, the other thing I'm always so aware of is, the majority of my friends do not tour and perform for a living, and they have very hard jobs. So it's like, there's like pros and cons to every job. Even I've toured with musicians, session musicians, that just go, fuck, this isn't for me. Like, I can't do this.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's to some people, it's the idea of, it's hell. It's like, why would you want to sleep on a bus and drive from town to town for 2 months at a time? That sounds like a nightmare. Whereas to some people, like myself, it's like, I'll do that. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Do you have a nice bus, though? Do you have one of those buses that
has...
tour bus.
Yeah, it's a tour bus.
Is your face on the side of it? Does it say George Ezra?
My face is not on the side of it.
Apparently you demanded that. Apparently you said, I want a bus with my face on the side.
I definitely didn't. It's very nice inside, and there's like, it's that something as well that I can see has changed in the last 2 years is that, yes, you're still touring, but you're doing so in comfort. And so then that becomes, it's like with the, you're able to make the experience. Like, I'll go back to it. Some of my favorite tours are the ones in the back of the van when no one knows who you are and you can roll from town to town and you genuinely feel like you're part of a circus, and that's incredible. But I would be lying if I said I've got it in me to keep that up forever. Definitely not. You know?
But that naivety when you're just going into it, that's what's freaking epic, man. Yeah. That kind of like, oh my god, the bright lights, this and that, like you have no idea what's happening. And that's like when you watch things like the movies like Almost Famous and stuff like that, when you see, like, you know, if you've seen it, you know, it's about groupies and things like that, and they follow around this band, and when you're part of like something like that at the beginning, that was the epic thing. Because then it just becomes normality after a while. And you almost want to treasure that naivety and that kind of innocence for a while.
But absolutely. And it's I always say, like, some musicians that you sit down and talk to, that it really is quite like considered, and it's like, no, I wanted to have this career and I wanted to do X, Y, or Z. And I just think everything is just a product of having said yes to things. It's like, do you want to support this person? Well, yeah, but why not? And it's like, you see where it goes. But then I wonder if that's worked in my favor, because it's like I didn't have expectations, and if you don't expect anything, then everything's a bonus, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one of those moments where you're on stage and you've just gone, holy fuck, this
every night?
No, not every night, Ezra. You don't have it every night.
Honestly, there's like, as long as it's a decent show, I have a moment every night where I just think, this is hilarious. And I laugh.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious, right? That's what you do.
Yeah.
Like, sorry,
is.
What?
Yeah. And I don't feel guilty for saying it's funny, because it is funny, man.
No, but it is, and that's what's so great, because, you know, like you said, there are people out there, are musicians and things that say, this is what I always thought was going to happen. I believed, I knew it, you know, and they have sort of almost been born into this existence that they are now, where with the majority of artists, they kind of just go, this was my passion, this was my love, and holy shit, I'm suddenly here now, and this is pretty freaking cool.
Well, I think you can't go into music like, you know, expecting to make like millions and have number, because otherwise, you know, if that's your motivation, like you're in the wrong career, because it's incredibly competitive to succeed in music. And the same with acting as well. It's like a very competitive industry. So you really have to love it, right? You really have to love the process of making music first and foremost. And
Francis is a DJ, so he's working up the ladder as we speak. He's just,
I mean, right now I'm just doing it for the love of it, but a lot of people are calling me and saying, look, we want to give you money for this. Yeah. And actually, I'll tell you a story.
And this, you is go, the, hell no, I'll give you money for it.
Say, look, I'm not releasing it. These are for my own enjoyment, these songs. But like, actually...
I love that your songs that you're creating are for your own enjoyment. You're
not, well, they are. Like, I'm making the music that I want to listen to. But basically, I was playing some music. I mixed in one of my songs into some music I was playing on Saturday, and my girlfriend was like, I saw her Shazam. She's like, oh, what's this song? And she Shazammed it, and I was like, no, that's my song.
But that's a massive compliment.
That's huge.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's huge. Dude, can I ask you?
Because you only Shazam great songs, like George Ezra's songs. So that must mean it's a great song. But anyway, I digress.
You said before about, you know, where so when you suddenly come on stage and everyone sees you and they go, oh my God, it's George Ezra. They look at someone, they go, oh, and that's what happens. How much do you think social media has maybe ruined all of that kind of sort of, you know, sort of excitement and mysteriousness and all that kind of stuff?
But I think that's, I don't think it has. I think that's part of your job, is to still make walking on stage exciting for people in the audience. And I think that, like, although we can see anything at our fingertips, you know, you just look at it and it's there, but it's not the same as being there, you know? And it's like, there's the...
You lose the intimacy of all experiencing this moment together, right?
Yeah.
That everyone in the room, like, sharing that experience, and that's kind of like a unifying thing.
But I never like to get too woo-woo about it all, but that's definitely, there's something in that, and there's something about, but even to the point of like getting the train into town, going for dinner with your mate, getting into the venue, buying an overpriced pint, but doing because you're there, and it's that all is fuck, and then the lights go down. I don't think you can reproduce that, and that's one of the struggles that people are now looking at in entertainment during isolation and the future. It's, you know, there's VR opportunities for shows, and there's, you know, Zoom, but it's not the same.
George, I feel a bit sorry that you're having to buy your own pints at your gigs.
Yeah.
and they're overcharging you. Yeah.
That is too good. But it's that, those experiences is exactly what it's about. It's about having those incredible experiences and exactly going it there with your mates. Like, I remember my first ever kind of gig. It was Tea in the Park, and I was about 12.
Mate.
Yeah, dude, it was banging. I watched Oasis, and I was.
Oh, mate.
And my cousin, who was much older than me, and I was like 12. Like, gave me a marijuana lollipop. And I was like, what? 12 years old. I was like, what the hell? But it was insane. Do you remember your first gig that you went to and you were like, this is just pretty freaking rad?
I was probably about 14, and me and a friend, and this is it, we got dropped off at Brixton Academy and we went to go and watch the Fratellis play, right? And it was like, just, and this isn't, to be, I mean, I've loved it, but it's almost, this isn't to take away from that show.
This isn't to be repeated.
No. It's like, it almost doesn't matter who that first act is. It's, as I said, in fact, my dad's car got towed that night and we ended up having to get the train home and he was furious.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There you go.
But it's those moments, man, that you just kind of remember. And also, mate, what's so cool about we all remember, like, Francis, when was your first gig? Where you would remember that?
Well, I've been to some big concerts when I was when I was much younger, but I would say my first gig I went to go see Hadouken. Do you remember Hadouken?
What's Hadouken?
Hadouken.
They were like
a new rave band.
Yeah.
NME stopped writing about indie bands and it all became this new rave scene. And it was,
I remember I got swept up in the new rave scene. And I was like 15, 16 or something like that.
Wait, hang on a second. At 15, I got swept up in the new rave scene at 15.
The heady days of new rave.
Oh, God. Oh, those God. Times were great. Those days were crazy.
Yeah. And those days were just madness. But George, what's amazing, man, is that you are, I think, you know, you kind of want to. I saw this thing once where this guy said that it doesn't matter if everyone goes out in the world and tries to change a million people's like lives and tries to do it, but it doesn't matter if you change a million people's lives or one person's lives. At least you've done something. For difference for good in your life. And what, you know, I remember my first gig so well, you do, Francis, you do, but you're giving that to endless people every single year. You're giving them that first experience, which must be insane, man.
But you say things like that and I feel really detached from it, so I don't walk off stage going, oh, just gave someone their first experience of a show like that.
Just taking your virginity, motherfuckers.
Yeah, that was my good deed of the day. I don't feel like that. I feel very separate from all of it. So when somebody says, if someone wants to say, you know, I saw you last summer and it was, you know, they enjoyed it, I feel separate from that.
Do you ever get to a point in your gig, because you must get, when you're doing your gigs and you're doing your songs and you're doing your moments and things like that, do you ever get to a point where everyone's obviously waiting for one of the big hits and you're just, and do you ever just have a night where you're like, fuck it, I'm not going to give it to them? Because do you go, well, you want Shotgun? I'm not going to sing it.
No, of course I don't. Why would I do that? Such a power play.
Well, you won this one? Well, you're not going to get it.
Just strictly B-sides and unreleased material for an hour and a half. Yeah,
that no one can sing along to.
But you laugh, but I've been to shows of people.
There are some bands that do that, definitely.
And you go, and you're like, what the? Who is this for, man? What are you doing?
Well, actually, speaking of Bob Dylan, he does that a lot. And he he'll completely change one of his original hits.
There's a difference. I think if you've been doing it for 50-odd years... But mate, I go to some shows where it's like people on their first album and they're doing like the jazz ska version of the big hit. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Really?
Yes, I've seen alternative. That. It's because it's like people want to, I don't know. I see a lot as well. People get commercial success and they see it as a negative thing. And then they start to try and prove to people that they're actually, you know, musos, and they're gonna say, but it doesn't matter. You've done something amazing. If people enjoy it, ride, you know, go with it.
Yeah.
But why do people get that? Why do people get kind of that, like, being
maybe
it
is
it
like, maybe it's like imposter syndrome. People like get this success and they feel like they don't.
No, I don't think it's imposter syndrome. I think it's more where you it's people who start as an artist and go, I'm still an artist. It's, you know, and actually.
Well,
I think it's because it's not cool to be popular. That really, and I kind of, it's the. And then people start to buy into that. I don't know.
It's one of my biggest stumbling blocks, actually. I live in eternal conflict about that.
But it's true. It's true, though. It is. It's that weird thing. It's like, it's not, and we're all obsessed with being cool, and it's not cool to be popular. You want to be like standoffish and like aloof on stage.
You want to be like George Ezra. But actually, what I was going to say is that I also think there's an element of people, like, I know personally, I've made like 8 songs, right? But my last song, whenever I make a new song, think that's like the best song I've ever made. So people, I think when you're a musician and you're constantly writing, you must always be like, you want to show off, you know, what you're doing. You want to get feedback on your latest work, which you think is your best work, right? Mm.
Absolutely, like that's something that because I did a year at a college in Bristol studying music, and one of the things that they really tried to knock out of us was like, don't get hung up on the songs you've written. Always move on. Like, it's brilliant, put it to one side, move on to the next one. Don't,
because you can always go back and work on it. Yeah,
and you get very like, and I still do it. I'll write a song and I'll say, well. Say at the moment I'm trying to write,
why don't you like it?
Not like that. It's like while I'm writing an album, I'll have, say, X amount of songs. So it's 6 songs working towards a record. Then I'll write the 7th and I'll go, oh, the rest of them are shit compared to this. And then give it a month and you're like, oh no, it's fine. You're on par. It's fine. You just, you know, got excited about this new song.
Yeah.
But wait, when you were at Bristol College, was it, and you were doing your music, was it like you came to sort of your day where you had to do your kind of, you know, okay, this is my song and things like that? Did it go down the line and then come to you and everyone was like, oh, hang on a second, what the hell is this? Or were you kind of all, did anyone else kind of go out of college and start performing and doing different things?
I've not ever told this story, not for any reason other than it just hasn't come up, but there was, in the first lesson that we had in my class, everyone had to go around and perform a song, and for the life of me I still don't know why it happened. I guess I don't need to know why it happened, but I just, my hands started to shake uncontrollably when it was my turn and I couldn't sing a note. And so for the first term of that year, nobody heard me sing, and I was, I think, seen as in my class as, why has he come here? And it kind of got worse and worse and worse, and then the end of term we all had to audition for a performance that was going to happen at Thekla, which is this boat club in Bristol, and I auditioned in front of the lecturers and they failed me because you had to audition as an ensemble, but obviously my confidence was shocked. So I just went in and auditioned solo. So they failed me, but they put me headline for the show. And so then I was in this position where I had to get up in front of however many people that thought I was a mute, or they knew, and perform.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was the most... I don't know if there's still a video. There used to be a video of that performance, and I swear to God, like, my eyes, they're not just shut. I'm literally like, for the whole thing.
Squeeze
until them. Like at one point I open them for a second and you can see I shit myself. I just go like, fuck this, and close my eyes.
But do you think that was just sort of, you, it sounds like you had sort of a panic attack almost. And
fright.
And then you kind of got anxiety to be on stage and be performing in front of people, which happens a lot to performers, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the, God knows what it was, because, you know, I hate to admit it, I'd be the knob at a party with a guitar. You know, I would, like, I didn't mind performing in front of people.
You'd be that person to be like, I'm going, hey, listen, oh, I don't want to sing. We don't want you to sing. Oh, if I'm asked.
yeah. I didn't make sense, but that's.
Is it because you were being judged again? I think maybe just, I don't know. What it seems like is that you. I mean, I could be totally wrong here, but it's like you're obviously an incredible performer, you're an incredible songwriter, you've got all the talent, but I suppose when you're, you know, when you're on stage and doing that, when you're suddenly put in a spotlight, that made you feel, like with Radio 1 Live Lounge, you're suddenly, you feel like, oh, it's suddenly, everything's on you, for example.
The college that I went to it's called BIM, which is the British Institute of Modern Music, and there's one in Brighton, was the original, they opened one in Bristol, I think there's a few now, but I was really under the impression, and this isn't to say this isn't the case, but that it was a very elite place. When I got in, I couldn't believe that I had got in. But the idiot next to me said that he'd go first. So I ended up, that's why I think, but I'm not saying had I seen the talent in the room, I would have been more relaxed. But it was like, I think I thought I was in a room full of prodigies. You know, I thought I was in a room of the finest talent in the country.
You thought the musicians in the country. So
they're listening to this now, being like, "What the fuck?"
And also, that bloke who told you to go first knows exactly who he is. He's probably listening to this going, "What the hell?"
But, and don't get me wrong, they were brilliant, but it was like I got it in my head that I was in a room with, you know,
like.
I essentially, what I'm saying is not that they weren't good, but I really judged myself against them. Is what I'm like. I went in there
rather than running your own race.
Yes.
I also love the fact that everyone who went to the college would have now seen. Wait, that mute is now seeing your stage, and he's changed his name to Ezra.
I'm gonna got him about him now.
I'm gonna find this video of him when he was squeezing his eyes shut. Mate, one more question I want to ask is that was the industry everything that you dreamed of and everything that it was cracked up to be?
No.
It's not, is it? It never is, is it?
But I think that's because I hate to keep saying this, but I had no idea of what the industry would look like. I hadn't thought about it. I really thought I was just going to get my degree, be a teacher, and you know, go on with it. And as I said, play guitar at home when I could for fun. I didn't waste any thought on, I wonder what it would be like to be in Sony HQ. I wonder what it would be like to, you know, I didn't think about those things.
But I guess it is also like you were saying before, like all these industries were sort of performance, entertainment based industries. They're all based on that sort of one moment of, you know, of performance with lots of preparation and hard work in advance. So it does take on the appearance of a magic trick, you know.
Yes.
So it's the whole thing really is reliant upon a series of illusions, and it's not as glamorous as everyone thinks it is. It's a lot of hard work. You know, you know, once you get to that level of success, you know, you can, like you said, become more comfortable doing the job that you're doing. But yeah, talk more about that.
I love how Francis got to the end and didn't know what else to say.
Panicked. Over to you.
Just told you.
Over to you, George.
Talk about that, George. I think I know what you're trying to say, Francis. I get that every industry.
Well, I'm not trying to say it. I just said it. But yeah, I didn't follow up with a question. But sorry about that.
Hey, listen, guys, we got to that moment in the podcast, Francis, where we need to have the answer to the question of the week.
Oh yeah.
Here we go.
The answer to the question of the week.
It looks like he's making it up. It looks like he's
Wait, what was the question again? How many words does the Scottish language have for snow? Which is a very appropriate question now, considering how snowy it is.
Yeah, George said 19, I said 100.
Yeah.
I said 19.
Yeah, 19, 1-9.
Okay,
good.
All right. Well,
I got so passionate. So
the answer is actually 421.
What?
Words for snow.
Shut up.
Yeah. No. The Scots language has 421 words for snow.
I don't think we have time for all of them, but could you give us a few?
Do you want a few of them?
No, we don't want any of them.
I'll give you a few. Here
all right, you have to do it in your Scottish accent then.
All right, I'll do it in my skimmer, yard drift, witting, iron snoo.
Sweet. Good work.
That was really funny, I thought.
I like that.
Jamie, where's your diary?
Where's your diary, my friend?
Well, I've got my diary. I was waiting for you to do yours.
Well, I was too excited to speak to George Ezra that I didn't write one.
Should I do mine?
All right, if you want to do yours, Francis.
With my Jiu-Jitsu Academy closed down and such a disruption to my athletic career, I've been a lot less active because other forms of exercise like jogging and cycling, whilst I have been partaking, just don't excite me enough to make me totally forget about how hard I'm pushing myself. Once you get good... Are you guys enjoying this?
Yeah, loving it. Yeah, loving it, buddy. Loving it.
Once you get good at jiu-jitsu, it's very... it could very appropriately be described as a sort of body surfing, where you get into a state of flow. Anyway, I really am becoming rather fat without it.
It's going on.
That, along with all the pudding I've been eating lately... Sometimes
I thought you were going to say over to you, George.
I know. George, you go now. Yeah.
George, talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay, sometimes I will get so hungry just before bed, I'll order 3 puddings because Deliveroo has a minimum order quantity. Have you guys run into this problem? It's fucking annoying. Like, if you want a pudding, late night pudding, you got to order like 3 of them.
Okay.
But then I'll end up eating all 3 in quick succession, chased down with some of my girlfriend's homemade chia pudding. So really, it's all Deliveroo's fault that I'm getting fat. Actually, in place of my jiu-jitsu addiction this lockdown, I filled my time with making melodic techno tracks in Ableton. Stay tuned for my new EP.
Sweet.
And George, yes.
Oh, there we go.
If you'd like to record something over my tracks, you're welcome. Yeah,
thank I will. You very much.
Record
yeah,
a vocal.
That's gonna come flying away, Francis. That's gonna come flying away. Get ready for it. Hey, so, George. Honestly, we've taken up too much of your time now, buddy. Honestly, thank you from bottom of our hearts. We honestly really appreciate it. And listen, I'm sure that you'll be going on tour as soon as we're out of all of this. Would that be happening, or do you not know?
Because it was kind of in the middle of recording. So we're trying to work out now ways of writing and recording, you know, remotely. But I think that, I don't know, I still think that our industry will look quite odd next year still, I think.
But I guess it's never been a better time to sort of be able to record and produce music remotely, right? There's so much. I guess like what is the stuff you miss like from being able to go into the studio most?
It's like the bouncing off one another's like ideas. So it might even just be like a raised eyebrow of like, oh, can we try this? Da 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 da. And it's like
The spontaneity and the impulsiveness. Same with the podcast, really. If without being in the studio, you kind of lose that those subtle cues you get from people's facial expressions.
I think we're on point, Francis. Yeah.
Hey, but actually, do you know, I'm actually loving doing these Zooms as well. I think they're great.
Honestly, I think Francis wants to talk to you all the time, Jordan. Honestly,
I was just about to say if I would happily come back in a heartbeat.
Are you going to stick around for part 3, George? Are you going to stick around for part 3?
Yeah,
mate, George. Honestly, buddy, we would love to bring you into the studio and you just play while we do a podcast.
I'm more than happy to do that,
mate. You're an absolute gem. Listen, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational. That's for you.
Over to you, Francis. Yeah.
talk about that, George.
Yeah, something inspirational. I don't know. I guess what I'm just reminding myself and my friends at the minute is that nobody has the answer. And so I don't know if that's inspirational or not, but it's helping me to relax.
Think for yourself, is what you're saying.
Something like that. Over to you, Francis.
Think for yourself, guys. No one has the answer, so just make it up as you go along.
Everything George, you say, Francis, basically just cuts off at the end and says its own version.
Yeah. Hey.
You're welcome, George.
I've been writing this new song. Do you know what, George? I think you should write this new song. Mate, George,
we're losing all those visual cues that we get from being in the studio. That's why.
George Ezra, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye!
See you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.